Rise and shine, folks. Good Feel Good Friday to you. It is the 23rd day of October 2020. We welcome you here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network from Traverse City down to Toledo. No matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio as well. We welcome you to the program today. Plenty of ways for you to get in contact with us. You can text the keyword Sports Radio to 21000, Sports Radio to 21000. Auto Value Guest Line 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527. We're on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook X's and Bros. And of course, good morning to our television audience as well on Comcast Channel 900. If you missed out on any portion of the show and you want to catch up, you can visit MichiganSportsNetwork.com, or you can find our podcast on SoundCloud, iHeart, Apple, Spotify, and Google Play. Danica Halen and Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. I'm Anthony Bellino. You can find us all individually. I am at AC Bellino on Twitter. Dan is at Dan in the Studio, and Ryan is at Ryan L underscore Key. Gentlemen, good Friday morning to both of you. How are we today? How are things? What was on the television last night? Are you excited for the weekend and the fact that we might actually get some very strange weather? We've got highs of 75 where I'm at. Chance of precipitation a little bit later on in the evening, but it's gonna get warm. If there's rain, it's gonna get humid.
Well, my TV had on Thursday Night Football. I didn't trip or anything, but you know,
if there was one play to sum up the NFC East in a nutshell, it was Daniel Jones. That dude's fast. You know what we call that in the NFL draft? Sneaky fast.
They're all fast. Guy, that's the problem.
I mean, he is fast.
Like Matthew Stafford's doesn't look fast. Tom Brady is fast for a human
being. Tom Brady's not fast.
Look, one of my buddies ran in high school. One of the fastest kids I've ever met. He went to an MLB tryout. They're like, you're below average MLB speed. So what we think is slow. Like,
oh, because
they're
we haven't
fast.
Seen we haven't seen fast like
right.
that
in
yeah.
person.
Yeah, and I agree.
Like
I agree.
Right next to it, it's yeah. They're faster than we think. Is my point.
Like Daniel Jones was two striding every 5 yards.
Like Daniel Jones,
and then all of a sudden he got to the 30, and then the 30, like the actual 30-yard line, the actual line itself that's painted, shot up from the ground, like tripwire, and just got him. He got that forward lean. And then his arm started flailing. It was like a little kid almost.
Oh, everyone's had that. Everyone's done that. You trip over the front of first base or something when you're running through it. We've all been there.
I mean, our absolutely. High school coach, we called that Ralph. We called the field tackling you. Don't let Ralph get you.
Turf monster?
Yeah, Ralph got him. Like, I believe Daniel Jones' top speed on the run was like close to 22 miles per hour. He was at 21 point something.
According to Next Gen Stats, Daniel Jones, he doesn't look fast, though. You know, you look at people and you're like, oh, they look fast.
Like, you know, it's on the TV right now. Like, he had breakaway speed there.
Like, he's running away from the corner. The corner can't catch him. The corner
when I was
up.
Watching that, I was like, wait, who's that running? Because, like, I just saw the breakaway, what I thought was going to be a score.
Should have been an 80-yard scamper for a touchdown. Instead, the Giants would score on that next possession, but that was the one play that really, to me, sums up the NFC East. You got one guy who, you know, people think that it's good, and you know he we're told that it's good, and the season takes off and it just trips all over itself, kind of like the Dallas Cowboys. But I like watching that from that perspective. A comeback victory, 21-16, with a 154 to play, and Carson Wentz wheeling and dealing down the stretch. The Eagles ended up getting into the end zone and coming back to win that ball game. Then they went for two, but they didn't get it. So it was 22-21 was the final score. But you know what? For as bad as this game might have been, it was entertaining as hell. I'm not going to lie. Like, sure, was the quality of play that great? I mean, you know, you want to nitpick at everything, then go ahead. But, I mean, I was here for it. And it was the only thing on television last night. Because I know that some people say, well, what about the Sun Belt game? You know, what about App State and Arkansas State? I'm not watching anything App State related. They came to Michigan to play basketball a couple of years, and I had like this queasy feeling in my stomach where I just want to puke.
Is that the only time they've come to Michigan?
That's the reason why I make that reference. Like, I can't watch anything. I don't want to hear about them. I don't want to see them. Like, I don't want to do anything. I still do not believe that that happened. I still, to this day, Deontay Wilder, to this day, I still do not believe that happened. Like, I am in shock.
The funny
still
thing is, I didn't watch that game
12 years ago
live because I was camping that weekend, but we had the game on the radio. And I just remember when that play happened. You know, like I said, all my friends are Michigan fans. And when that play happened, we're all like, what? They're all like, what the hell? And I'm just sitting there giggling like a schoolgirl. Because you don't believe it would ever happen, especially to that team.
I mean, the expectation for that team, that was the beginning of the end. That right there was the beginning of the end. That is where the
armor, that's where Michigan fell from, dented, like actual national title contenders to what they are now.
This? Yeah, and how they lost that game, like that was you know the beginning of the end for Lloyd Carr, like people calling for him, and just the whole thing was just that set the tone for the next decade and a half. One game. Incredible. That was 2008, right? 2006? What year was that? No, 2006, they went to
2007, I believe.
Yeah, they went to play USC in the Rose Bowl, and then USC, oh, they're banned, just nonstop. USC trounced them. And then 2007 is what you said, potentially?
Yeah, that's what I believe. I'll do a quick fact check for you.
Oh, fact check, thank you. Yeah, just brutal, just absolutely brutal. They won last night against Arkansas State 45-17, in case you were worried. But it is what it is. I just it still bothers me to this day. I still can't get over it. I don't know.
Yeah, September 1st, 2007.
And then they always do like the, they always have the.
Do you know who was the announcer
and all that?
Do you know who the announcer was for that game?
No, I'm trying to remember.
There's a deep fly ball at the left field.
Tom Brenneman. No wonder we lost. That's why. That's why right there. All right, we got a lot to get to today. We got a lot of headlines. We're going to try to get you all caught up with all the happenings across the world of sports. I'm going to stop trying to, reinvent or reinvigorate.
You're supposed to be excited and be like all Kool-Aid right now for Michigan. And here you are bringing up App State.
We're going to talk to Ryan Burns for a full preview of Minnesota. He covers the Golden Gophers for 24/7 Sports. We're going to talk to him about the Michigan-Minnesota game, get you everything you need to know about the Golden Gophers going into that one. Eric Schlitt will join us with Lions Wire, talk about Lions and Falcons, getting us prepped and ready to go for Sunday. We got to get our NFL picks in. We got to get this Big Ten news. We got a lot going on here today, and we're gonna have to start flying. So let's do it. Let's hit the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
Shout out to Frank Gargano. He must be running the board down in our Glass City studio at FrankGargano77. There, I plugged his Twitter. He owes me $5. Seattle Seahawks Russell Wilson quarterback said that humbled Antonio Brown deserves another chance. Adam Schefter picked him up in fantasy, so you better, like, if you have an extra spot on your roster, you might as well grab him. If Schefter's grabbing Antonio Brown, that means the guy's coming back. Who knows? Maybe he could be a contributor. Las Vegas Raiders place 4 starting offensive linemen on the reserve COVID-19 list. Watch this. This game got moved from Sunday Night Football at 8:20 to 4:05 on Sunday. The Raiders have 5 remaining offensive linemen on their 53-man active roster. They moved it out of Sunday Night Football to the afternoon in case they have to move the game in general and just postpone it from this week. Ex-49er Dana Stubblefield sentenced to 15 years to life for rape of a woman with a disability. That's a rough story there. Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas with his hamstring injury doesn't practice. His Sunday status is still iffy. Carson Wentz leading the Philadelphia Eagles in a late game surge to beat the New York Giants last night 22-21 on Thursday Night Football. The NBA draft is going to be held virtually at the ESPN studios on November 18th. The National Junior College Association has a blanket waiver that ensures all JUCO athletes will not lose eligibility in the 2020-2021 season. Good for them. That's what they had to do. It's the right thing to do. Marquette pauses both men's and women's basketball activities after a COVID-19 positive test there. The University of Toledo, they have paused for all their activities as well because they have a COVID outbreak on their team. We'll step aside when we return. The Big Ten has a plan for any big problems. We'll get into that next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
From planting a simple seed to managing a global food supply, growing, processing, and distributing food is the backbone of America. You deal with food safety and labor issues, cost control, and not to mention Mother Nature. But do you have time to explore research development and biotechnical tax credits? Properly administer payroll for temporary employees? Ensure that you're operating at your most profitable? That's where we come in. We're Bean Garter. And while your business is America's food supply, our business is helping you run your business better. We'll assist with tax credits, assess your processes and controls, and so much more. And while we may not be able to help you plant your crops, we can help you realize a rich financial harvest. From the family farm to worldwide distribution of all the things you grow, grow your business better. Experience service, expertise, and simplicity at Bean Garter. Find us online, beangarter.com. Bean Garter.
Huge here for the incredible Tullymore Golf Resort. They're in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, less than an hour north of GR and a short drive for most of you listening right now on the Huge Show across Michigan. Fabulous place to get away, and there still will be some good days of golf left. Book a tee time right now at TullymoreGolf.com, a stay and play package in the fall if you just want to get away. The restaurants are open, and if you want to look at some real estate, maybe looking ahead to 2021, a weekend home, or if you want to live on the grounds at Tullymore, go to TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com. And if you want to look ahead for a wedding, a reception, an outing, a corporate event, or anything in 2021, now is the time to book it while dates are there. Go to TullymoreGolf.com. That's TullymoreGolf.com, the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Anthony Bellino, Danica Halen, Ryan Elke all joining you this morning. Dan and Ryan in the Motor City studio. Frank Gargano down in our Glass City studio. I'm coming to you from the Radio Bunker. We have some news as the Big Ten football season will begin tonight with Illinois at number 14, Wisconsin. What does that number 14 mean? I just say it just because I have to, just because it's there. But outside of that, I'm not really going to get too involved in a ranking. It doesn't necessarily mean anything because other teams have been playing. And we have not. The fact that
how many weeks until you think it's a proper ranking? 2, 3?
That's a really good question. Probably midway through the season, maybe.
So after 4 weeks.
After 4 weeks, okay. I mean, at least they'll have some games. At least they'll have. You know, we're not looking at a team that's walking in 0-0 and calling them the 14th best team in the country just based on their brand name. Like, if your starting quarterback gets injured in the first game, it's going to drastically change the outcome of your season. You know, Justin Fields goes down. Do you think Ohio State's the third best team in the country right now? We don't know. We have to wait and see. By the way,
do you remember Dwayne Haskins coming in for as a backup and just
right. Cardale Jones? He was a backup for 3 games, went to the league.
Right.
Crazy.
To say Ohio State's probably not the best example.
I mean, we don't know that.
I mean, they've done it before.
That was then, this is now. I mean, that has no effect.
I mean, let's be honest.
You just want to give them the blind benefit of the doubt.
We could be honest and say that it's other Big Ten teams, Michigan, that are, you know, normally ranked way too high early in the season because of quarterback hype.
It is Jon Snow in that scene where his brother runs out in the middle of the open field. It is that. It's going to be that every day of the football season, isn't it?
No, I feel Michigan's appropriately ranked right now. 18 coming in with kind of some unknowns on offense.
I think you could have left them unranked, to be honest with you. We don't know anything. So because we don't know anything, it's like, why? I mean, I don't know. I don't have anything to say. If they come out and they blow the doors off of Minnesota, then okay. But then again, I always look at it like, well, what really is Minnesota? Minnesota, hey, we're going to get into this. Minnesota is going to be good, and it's going to be a tough game. I still think that Michigan can go in there and rock them a little bit and upset them, but it's – inclement weather. They got snow on the ground already there. That's awful.
No, that's great.
Not
what do you mean
Milton.
Awful? No. Not for Joe Milton.
Not for Joe Milton. First game starting. I need that late August, early September start. Good weather. You know, noon kickoff, sunny outside, maybe at the big house. You know what I'm saying? Like,
those are the best days.
Those are the best days.
57 degrees with the breeze on the golf course.
He, like, honestly, he needed a warm-up game. Like, where's Oregon State? Where's Air Force? Like, where's that game for him?
Yeah, where is where's Maryland?
Right.
You know, paging Rutgers, where are you guys at? Like, I know,
well, they're slanting.
I know where Rutgers is at this week, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we definitely needed that. Hey, definitely.
Michigan State needed Rutgers. All right.
Michigan State
needed we Rutgers. Needed that.
That's okay. Mel Tucker's gonna get he's gonna get off to a hot start there. I don't believe we had James Cratch from NewJersey.com. What I wish I could have seen your face when he said, like, Rutgers has a puncher's chance and, you know, might get weird and try to win.
With
this
Greg
game.
Schiano, Rutgers will always have a puncher's chance.
I think that,
I will give him that. Like Greg Schiano, like,
it's a good coach.
Like, yeah, he needed to be at Rutgers. He needs to be at Rutgers forever.
Yeah, the Big Ten should have mandated that when he left, that in order for Rutgers to get a bid into the league, that Schiano had to come back. I just find it very interesting because when you go out east, college sports really aren't that prevalent as much as the pro sports are, but there's still a ton of people watching. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, the New York City market has low numbers when it comes to Big Ten basketball. You know, it's got a low share in New York City. Yeah, there's a jabillion people in New York City. That number is still going to be higher than it's going to be in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You know what I mean? So one Big Ten note here, the Penn State Nittany Lions men's basketball coach Pat Chambers has resigned after an internal investigation after some alleged comments made by Rasir Bolton, who transferred from Penn State to Iowa State in the summer of 2019. Here's what he said after the story comes out. Bolton tells The Undefeated, recalling that Pat Chambers said, quote, "I want to be a stress reliever for you. You can talk to me about anything. I need to get some of this pressure off of you. I want to loosen the noose that's around your neck." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't use the word noose. I can't think of a time when I have thought about using the word noose. Like, it's not in the vocabulary. You know what I'm saying? And it was brought to my attention when I had first tweeted about the article the other day. Like, hey, you need to find the whole quote in the context. The context matters. I mean, noose isn't a word that you use, especially in a sport that is, you know, 70% African-American, to where, you know, what the black man in America sees when they see a noose is the lynching of people like them. Like, I don't know. I Pat Chambers, can't really defend you there. Like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? So there's that. I wanted to throw that story out there as well. Just because it's Big Ten related. But the Big Ten does have a plan, you know, because we're going to go through this right now this weekend with the NFL. What's going to happen with the Patriots? What's going to happen with the Buccaneers in the Battle of the Pirates on Sunday? Well, they moved it from Sunday night football to early in the afternoon. That way they can ensure there's a Sunday night football game. I believe Seahawks-Cardinals takes the place of the Sunday night football game for the NFL as they try to continuously work around what is happening right now. But the Big Ten has released their plans, because what if there is a COVID-19 breakout at some point between one of these teams? Now, there are going to be players that test positive. These things are going to happen. Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the league, who many people feel differently about right now, he joined Scott Van Pelt last night to talk a little bit about this. But the Big Ten is going with a no contest, just like in boxing. So you could travel, Michigan could travel all the way to Penn State, get there, and Penn State has some positive tests, or Michigan has some positive tests, turn that bus around and go right home. No contest, never played, never happened, which I don't mind it. It's better than a forfeit and you have no time to reschedule because you waited so long. Here is what Kevin Warren had to say about some of the rules and regulations regarding Big Ten football this year.
Feel strongly that at this point in time, for this weekend, that we should not have fans in the stands. Some of our stadiums will have, you know, parents of our student athletes, but we're just going to try to stay disciplined and stay to our protocols. And our whole focus is given these student athletes and our coaches who have worked so hard to get to this weekend to be able to play football.
I am just wondering, just.
No fans in the stands. Got to stay disciplined. Got to be this, got to be that. It's difficult for me, you know, to hear Kevin Warren, and I appreciate him saying, like, they've worked so hard, you know, but we're going to stick to our protocols and yada, yada, yada. Okay, so at least they have a plan in place. And, you know, you're talking about no ban, no fans, no nothing. Like, the game is going to sound much different. They haven't even figured out, as far as I know, you know, what the plan is. Like, the, we know now that they're going to want some sort of level of crowd music when injuries happen. The first injury that I heard in week one of the NFL where they killed everything from a sound perspective and being able to hear what was happening, like, that's not good. You don't want that on TV. So pump in some crowd noise, take the field mics down. You know, somebody's got to be controlling that in trying to mitigate that sound as much as possible. But to go no contest, I'm okay with. I don't have a problem with that. I actually think that's the right thing to do. Now you'll be basing your champions off of winning percentage, just because there's no, if not everybody plays eight games, because I got a feeling we're gonna hit some roadblocks, and it's all gonna start tonight at 8 o'clock, which is a late game. Wisconsin hosting Illinois. As I always say, when this happens, they should never play on Friday nights. Friday nights should be reserved for the high school kids. There's no reason for colleges to be playing on Friday nights, but that's neither here nor there. 14 teams in the Big Ten. Championship weekend is December 19th. In order to compete in the Big Ten championship game, a team must play at least six games, according to the conference tiebreaker rules. So you got to play at least six, and you're going by winning percentage. That's what we have. If they're going to go with if the positivity rate for a team exceeds 5%, a team must stop regular practice and competition for a minimum of 7 days, and then reassess metrics until improved. Love the big words like metrics and stuff like that. It's going to be a challenge. There will be bumps in the road. There will be some hiccups. Somebody is going to end up getting a game that's no contest. At the end of the day, at least they're out there, and it feels like for now, at this very moment, there will be college football this weekend. I don't have to act interested in the team in the SEC. I can care about my team's playing. All right, let's step aside. We'll jump into the NFL with Eric Schlitt of the Lions Wire and USA Today as we get ready for Lions-Falcons Sunday. That's next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan, available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive, boys and girls, high school sports, MHSAA.tv. That's MHSAA.tv. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddie's Foundation at #PopTheTap. At freddythepizzaman.com. That's F-R-E-D-I, thepizzaman.com. Or email freddythepizzaman@gmail.com.
Halloween at Meijer means ghoulishly good savings for you. This week, buy five and save $5 instantly when you mix or match Halloween favorites like Hershey's snack size bagged candy, just $2.79 each. 24 packs of Pepsi and Coca-Cola, just $6.99 each, plus deposit where applicable. Plus, enjoy free Meijer pickup on orders of $50 or more. Visit Meijer.com to get started. Find spooky savings and more when you buy five and save five at Meijer. Exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen of Ryan Elke in our Motor City studio. I'm Anthony Bellino coming to you from the Radio Bunker. Join us on the horn right now is the editor for the Lions Wire covering the Motor City Kitties. That's right, the Detroit Lions, co-host of the Lions Breakdown podcast, our good friend Eric Schlitt. Eric, my friend, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to join us today. Last time we talked, you and your wife were expecting number three. How is life now with number three?
You know, it's a lot of fun, you know, sleepless nights, you know, aside, it's exciting. And, you know, the kids are going back to school. And so we get to spend a little bit more time with our newest daughter. And, you know, we're trying to enjoy that as much as we can while she's little.
That's awesome. It's fantastic. They grow up fast, or at least so I've been told. I haven't actually had to had to experience that yet, but so I'm told they do grow up fast. Hey, Eric, this has been since the last time we spoke, it's been a challenging season, but the Lions are coming off of a 34-16 victory against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which, you know, when you looked at the game as a whole, if we took away Jaguars and we just said, okay, you know, here is a Lions team that is going to march down the field in their first two drives and score touchdowns. Then they're going to have an opportunity to put points on the board. They're going to miss a field goal, make a field goal on their next two drives, and then only punt once in the first half. I mean, I don't know how to get, you know, not too overly excited about the performance until I look across and see the logo of the other team. And it's like, okay, well, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing against a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, but I think you have to give them credit, though, for that, too. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars are not a great team, but they handled them like they were supposed to, right? You know, you get a win no matter what, and, you know, you had the first five games were against all against winning teams. So it wasn't unexpected that they were going to have a hard time with those first five games. Now, or, I'm sorry, it's first four games. The challenging part, and I think what left a lot of bad taste in a lot of people's mouths were the way they were losing those first four games, right? Jacksonville was the team they were supposed to beat, and they did, and they beat them handedly. And now, you know, the next part of the schedule opens up a little bit. It's a little bit lighter. You know, some of the teams that we thought maybe were going to challenge are not doing as well either. So there's some opportunities to kind of right the ship. And so, yeah, I think there is room for excitement. Now, they still have to continue working in a positive direction like they showed against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But there's a few other teams where the helmets aren't going to be as scary from now till Thanksgiving.
Yeah, this is definitely a portion of the schedule when we look at it as a whole that it's like, okay, now this is a time right here. You could make a little bit of a run going into that last month of the schedule, which is very, very challenging to say the least. But this is a time right now where we could get hopes up really high. And I'd ask this question after the Arizona game, and I'll ask it to you, Eric, after this Jacksonville victory. Is, you know, was a win here, and I hate to say it like this, but was a win here the right thing for the organization?
Yeah, I think it was, because I don't think they were going to make a decision ahead of Thanksgiving anyways. You know, when you look at the grand scheme of things that are going on, like I said, the tougher part of the schedule was early. You have to factor in all the off-season challenges that were going in. I don't think the Lions were ever a team or ever an organization that was going to make a decision about their long-term future after just a few short games. Like, we saw Atlanta make coaching changes and front office changes. We saw it happen in a couple other teams around the league as well. But I don't think the Lions were ever going to get to that point. I think they really wanted to give, Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia a chance to get into the meat of their season, give them a chance to, you know, be competitive down the stretch, which is really what that ultimatum was, is that they wanted to see get competitive. So I think they're always going to get that shot. So I'm not overly surprised by the way that this has kind of played itself out. If they falter over the next, you know, seven games or even down the stretch, then yeah, I mean, decisions, you know, hard decisions are going to be made, but I don't think it's bad to get a win. It's never bad to get a win. And if they can win again, then, you know, maybe you start changing the outcome and maybe you can change it. It doesn't take much to, you know, start gaining that positive play, and we'll see what happens from there. So I don't think it's a bad thing to win. No.
Get a little mojo, get a little momentum, and keep it rolling. For the pregame show, my Lions fantasy star, because we have to pick a Lion each week for who we'd start in fantasy, and I said DeAndre Swift, and I'm going to continue to beat my chest on that because it was like, hey, eventually this guy's going to get some touches. And I just threw a dart at the board. I didn't know anything. Nobody called me. I didn't talk to Coach Patricia beforehand or Coach Bevel and say, hey, guys, what's the game plan here today? I just had a weird, just a hunch. 14 carries, 116 yards, and two scores on the ground for DeAndre Swift. A lot of touches for that young man, you know, being able to run the ball out of the backfield, which we necessarily haven't seen yet this season, been used primarily as a pass catcher. How intrigued were you by his play? I thought it was great. It was wonderful to see, and I'm very excited to see if maybe they can lean on him a little bit more here as we look at the second half of the season post the bye week.
Yeah, I think they will. He's proven that he's capable of you know, giving the Lions games like that. And this, it's typical of how the rookies are treated within this organization. They typically are given a smaller workload early, and then that workload expands. And the higher the draft pick, the more expectations there are, and the shorter that, you know, that light workload early. So for a first-round pick, you're thrown right into it. For a second-round pick, you get a month of the season where you're trying to acclimate, and then you're expected to do more. For a third-round pick, it takes about half the season before they start putting more expectations on them. And that's typically what Bob Quinn has done in the past. So this is right about the right time frame for him to start getting more involved. And, you know, they're still going to take the approach of trying to use Adrian Peterson as the heavy back early, and they're going to want to keep him late because he's a reliable veteran. But so I don't think Swift is ever going to be named the starter, but he's probably going to be the guy who ends up getting the most snaps more often than not. He'll probably end up being the guy who gets more touches more often than not. You know, we'll see, you know, each guy kind of had, each of these backs has a very specific role that they're good at, and I don't think they want to move away from that. And while a lot of us, a lot of fans, you know, a lot of people are looking at Swift and saying, hey, he should be getting, you know, 20 touches a game, or, you know, he should be on the field 75% of the time. I don't think that's realistic. He's still a rookie. They're still going to want to take it slow with him. They're not going to want him to burn out, and they're going to want him being capable of producing games like we saw last Sunday in December. They don't want him to burn out. So they're still going to take this kind of slow committee approach to the backfield.
He's Eric Schlitt. He covers the Detroit Lions for the Lions Wire, a part of the USA Today Sports Network. And, you know, Eric, when we look back into the Jacksonville game on the other side of the football, to see that, you know, two of the Lions defensive players were recognized by Pro Football Focus. And I know that, you know, it's important to reference the fact that, you know, PFF isn't exactly, you know, the Holy Grail or Holy Bible when it comes to trying to digest or analyze a football game. But they do, I think that you can put in perspective what their research does and what their film study does and their breakdowns do and how players are graded or how players are ranked. I think there is something useful to that. It's not very often that we get a Lions player on the team of the week, but we had not one but two in Trey Flowers and Jamie Collins recognized by Pro Football Focus for their efforts on a defense that looked pretty good. I mean, they did exactly what they had to do. Jacksonville has a nice rookie rusher, an undrafted guy in Robinson who had been running the football very well, and this Lions defense tightened things up, I thought, did a really good job on Sunday.
Yeah, and to expand on the Pro Football Focus, if you want to look at even broader scope of things, they did have Collins and Flowers make the team, but Daron Harmon actually had a higher grade than Jamie Collins did, and a lot of that was because he didn't make the team because there were a couple other safeties around the league who just, you know, played a little bit better, but Harmon actually played very well as well. So, and then when you look at some of the other kind of like side players, some of the other guys who weren't like every down contributors, Jared Davis had a terrific game, and he's been relegated to a part-time role, but he played very well. Christian Jones, his snaps were scaled back as well, but he played extraordinarily well. And if you look at his Pro Football Focus scores from this week, they were all high as well. You know, if you throw out the snaps and you just look at the scores, Jared Davis was the best linebacker in the league for the 11 snaps that he played last week. Jamie Collins was number three. Christian Jones was number five. So they're all playing well in the snaps that are allotted to them right now. And that was a key in them finding success. So we saw some different looks from the defensive line, but really, in order to find success, you need your linebackers to do well in this scheme, and we saw that from them. We saw Jared Davis, like I said, do well in his limited snaps. Jamie Collins really played out of his mind. We saw good stuff from Ragland. Tobias still struggled a little bit last game, but the linebackers were really key in that success against the run last week.
And they're going to have to be good against the run again this week with Todd Gurley and the Atlanta Falcons coming to town. When we take a look at this Atlanta team, a team that has struggled mightily, and the expectation going into the season for the squad is they would get back to the playoffs. The Lions are 2-3. The Falcons, who replaced their GM, replaced their head coach, they decided to make remove both of those positions. They got back on the winning track against the Vikings, which I just saw yesterday that the Vikings have moved on from Yannick Ngakoue, moving him to Baltimore in exchange for picks. So are the Vikings punting on the season already? But the Falcons, they beat the Vikings 40-23 in Minnesota, which is a pretty good game. And who knows what kind of spark they're going to have. When you look at this Falcons team, what's most concerning, obviously, outside of the fact of, well, somebody's got to guard Calvin Ridley and somebody's got to guard Julio Jones.
Yeah, Julio's the really big one here, right? And I think the offense goes with Julio. When he wasn't available, they struggled pretty heavily. And then when he came back against the Vikings, he's just such a reliable player that Matt Ryan goes on to be the NFC Offensive Player of the Week, right? So he goes with Julio, like as good as Calvin Ridley is, and as much of a problem as Calvin Ridley is, and he's having a terrific season, this offense really centers and goes with Julio. So he's really going to be the problem. It's going to be interesting to see how the Lions approach him and Calvin, because those two receivers can be really problematic. If we see them, the Lions go back to more man, then It could be problematic for the young corners, because these are two wide receivers that are really having terrific seasons. Julio having a terrific career, of course, but Calvin Ridley in his third year is really starting to break out. So if they keep implementing more zone looks, well, then there's opportunities for them to maybe find more success like they did last week. But in order to make that happen, you've got to be able to get home up front as well. And last week we saw them shade blitzes. We saw them actually blitz a little bit more than traditionally. And if they can stop the run, then that affords them the opportunity to be creative up front. If you're creative up front, it makes things easier on your safety. So or your safeties in your corner. So it really centers, like you said, around, you got to stop that run first, then you can get, and then you have to get creative with how you're creating pressures. And really you need to make sure that you're not putting your young corners on an island against these really tough wide receivers and expecting them just to hold up, kind of save the day. You need to be creative in how you're giving help all across the board. But it really does start up front.
Eric Schlitt joining us from the Lions Wire, talking to Detroit Lions, getting ready for Sunday's game on the road against the Atlanta Falcons. You can find him on Twitter at Eric Schlitt. Eric, you mentioned something on the defensive side of the football that I saw a statistic and I was very intrigued by, and that was the fact that the Detroit Lions, when you compare week to week, week one, they played 82% of their defense in the secondary was played in man-to-man. Week two, it dropped down to just shy of where the number was at in week one at 81.8. In week three, it drops to 55.6%, week four, 63%, so on and so forth. In week six, that big victory against Jacksonville, they were only in man 39.1% of the time. Is that a number that really sticks out to you as far as like, hey, this might be a useful piece of data here in which we can kind of describe that, hey, this team is better off trying to get out of some of those man-to-man looks on the defensive side of the football to have better success overall? Or could that be a product of, the front four and maybe five or six, depending on, what individual defense was called on what individual down? But those guys were getting pressure on Gardner Minshew. They were affecting the quarterback and actually getting in the backfield, which is something this defense has really struggled to do under Matt Patricia.
Yeah, I think if you go back and you look at the last 2 years with Patricia, that man coverage 80% of the time, it's pretty consistent. It only this year has he started to give more zone looks. And honestly, the two games where he's shown the most zone are the two games that he's won. So I do think he's starting to recognize the fact that you can incorporate zone in this scheme and still make it work. Now, the way they use zone, I think the most effectively, is when they do a cover three concept, which is similar to what like the Seattle Seahawks run and their base defense comes out of cover three, and the Lions version is similar to that. And that cover, those cover three concepts allow you to, they allow you more freedom to put less pressure, I guess, on your corners. So when you have instinctive corners and they're athletic, like the Lions have, you can utilize that cover three to find success, but you can't just rely on it all the time. You still have to have those man concepts involved. So I do think there's an even marriage that they can find. I don't think they need to swing one way or another towards zone or man. I think going heavy man has a lot of problems, but there's benefits to being in man as well. So if you can find that balance, I think the defense is going to find more success, but we're starting to see, you know, I think we're starting to see Patricia realize that you don't have to do it one way all the time. If you can get creative in how you approach different teams and different offenses and different schemes, and you can incorporate those own concepts, then there's other ways to find success. And so hopefully, you know, we're starting to see that more moving forward.
Eric, have you been concerned at all with Matthew Stafford's play? It still doesn't feel like he's really found his rhythm or his touch in comparison to seasons past.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I think a lot of it starts with his footwork. You know, when you have back issues, you know, whenever you have an injury, you always tend to have issues in other parts of your body, right? And with a back issue, it's going to impact how your legs work. And coming off of that back surgery, I still think he's working out a lot of the uncomfortableness of having, you know, this, it wasn't just 1 year, it was 2 years of back issues. And so now that I think his body's still kind of reacclimating, right? And some of that has caused his footwork to be a little bit inconsistent. You know, if you lean back a little bit more, the ball sails. If you're not squared the right way, then the ball is going to go off angle a little bit. And so I really think it's just centered around a couple of those footwork issues. And those are things that can be cleaned up. You know, mentally, he's where he needs to be. And I think, he, you know, physically, he still has all of the talent that he has in the past. And there's just some technical things that I think he can clean up. And, you know, we've seen in the past that he's capable of doing that. And once that happens, I'm pretty confident he's going to come back around again. But, yeah, right now, there's been some inconsistencies. There's definitely – he's missed throws that he hasn't missed previously. And so, but I think it's all centered around just some of the technical things of what he's doing in the pocket.
He's Eric Schlitt. You need to find him on Twitter at Eric Schlitt. You can find his work at the Lions Wire, part of USA Today Sports, and his podcast, The Lions Breakdown. Now, Eric, as always, my friend, thank you so much for your time today. Good luck with the newest edition of the fam, and enjoy Sunday's game.
I will. Thanks for having me on, Anthony.